If you have a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 26. Thank you for being in the house of God tonight for midweek service. It's good to see you. Do be praying for, continue to pray for Pastor Myers and, of course, Pastor Joe, Pastor Esposito. And pray for our missionaries. Pray for Mrs. Board. Most of us know that typhoid is not a small thing. It's a pretty big thing, so she needs your prayers. Pray for the missionaries that are serving in countries like China. My wife and I serve in China. Pretty soon we're going to go help Brother Kum Lee start a Bible Institute in Laos. But not too long ago in China, a man who had been pastored in the United States for many, many years, probably about my age, he resigned his church and he went to China to serve in Asia in general. And his ministry was going to be specifically a ministry teaching nationals. And so he raised support. He did what, you know, missionaries do, raise support. His very first day in China, he was going to be in a province, out in the province, away from the city, and he was going to be in a province. He was going to meet with three or four, five, six churches and do some teaching. He had an interpreter, and the night before he was supposed to teach, he's at a guest house, a hotel, if you would, and the police came, and he could hear the knocking on the doors. He couldn't understand what they were saying because it was all in Mandarin, and they're going from door to door. They're looking for the white guy. Somebody say amen. Well, actually, they weren't looking for the white guy, but that's what he thought. His interpreter was in the room next to him, and they beat his interpreter down badly. Badly. Now, they knew where he was, and they knew that it was his interpreter in the room next to him. They just wanted him to know, we know you're here, and you won't be speaking tomorrow. And all of Asia, by the way, Cambodia is a free country right now, but Brother Board's really concerned because almost all of Asia is now turning away from America. Our new administration's made it very difficult, and they're all turning to China. And so even Brother Board said, it may not be long, we may be following suit with China. So you really need to be praying for countries like Laos and Vietnam, all of Southeast Asia. They are no longer looking to America. They're looking to China, which is, of course, a communist country. So they do need your prayers. Let's all stand. Acts chapter 26, didn't mean to be so sober, but they do need your prayers. We are excited about what the Lord is doing. We just had our team retreat last week. What a blessing, Brother Board. If you want to get, Brother Vong has a picture of the team retreat of everybody together. What a blessing. Brother Vong, do you know how many of us, how many were there? 50? Over 50. It was so exciting. I mean, to see people from China, from Laos, from, I almost said Vietnam, Cambodia, from Thailand, not only the missionaries, but some of the nationals, people who've been reached by the missionaries, and to think that that's the fruit that abounds to your account. And all the people that are being reached, and I looked at that picture, I had a chance to speak a few times, but when you saw the picture, when everybody's together, saw the picture, except Buna wasn't in the picture. He got raptured or something. Buna and my wife, because my wife was in the States. But did you ever get him in the picture? Did you Photoshop him in or something? Not yet. So if you see the picture now, Buna, he got raptured. I don't know. But it was so exciting. I looked at that picture. I said, man, this is just exciting. To think that it all started with a dream. It all started with a vision. It all started, and of course, I wasn't in the meetings, but it all started when Pastor Joe and Brother Board would sit maybe in Pastor's office and talk about it. And Brother Board had been in Cambodia for a couple years. And it just, talking and dreaming. And we're not going to go into all of it. And then recruiting. And, you know, Pastor, he just had an uncanny ability to just, you know, hoodwink people in Asia. Somebody say amen. And to think, Dwight Tomlinson, our dear friend, he was one of the speakers with us. And he had just been in the big conference conducted by Lancaster, 49 different countries, missionaries and pastors in the Philippines from all over the world. And Dwight Tomlinson was actually one of the speakers. And Dwight Tomlinson said to his daughter and then told me later, this was better than the one in Manila. Somebody say amen. And he was just so excited, and you would have just loved being there. By the way, I would encourage some of you in the future, go. We do it once every 2 years now. Occasionally we do it every year, but normally once every 2 years. But just to see what God is doing, and it just what a blessing. And Acts chapter 26, we got to roll here really quick. Acts chapter 26, verse number 12, very familiar passage, and I preached from this passage many, many times here, I'm sure, at Pacific. And I want to talk to you a little bit about vision. And Brother Joseph, I'm teaching in the college. It's my voice. I'm teaching, but the last session was like preaching, so I've been preaching for many years. I still don't know how to use my diaphragm. Amen. So my voice is going, and I preached last night. By the way, I'm tired, so if I'm a little bit funny tonight, it's because I've slept like 12 hours in the last 4 days or 15 hours or something, but it's ridiculous. Yeah, anyway, that's what my wife says all the time. But Brother Joseph and I were talking in the office. We were talking about vision. And Brother Joseph, if I remember correctly, he said, you know, vision dies every 60 days. That's what they say. That's old days. In America today, vision dies like every 60 seconds. Somebody say amen. But we need vision. Vision is the spark that keeps us going for God. It keeps our lives right. It keeps our families right. It keeps our ministries right. It keeps us going for God. And we're going to talk a little bit. Don't have a lot of time this evening. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, this is Paul standing before King Agrippa, giving his testimony. He always shares his testimony everywhere he goes. And commissioned from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light. He sees something. He has this vision. Above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice. So he sees a vision. He hears a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise. By the way, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, it's red letters, it's Jesus speaking. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for a purpose. And by the way, let me just say this. God has a purpose. It's not just the Apostle Paul who has a purpose. Yeah. It's not just the missionaries in Southeast Asia. It's not just the rays in China. God has a purpose and a plan for your life and for my life. Amen. To make thee a minister, and minister there means servant, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, of those things which in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, and whom I will now send thee. Notice verse number 18. By the way, God's purpose for you is different than God's purpose for me, and God's purpose for me is more different than God's purpose for you. But may I say something? It doesn't matter what God's purpose is for your life or for my life. It always revolves around seeing people saved and discipled and lives changed. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, you know, if you're watching the TV evangelist and he says, God has a purpose for your life to make money and have a big house and a nice car. Can I just say something? No, God's purpose for your life, it's all different. God has a specific purpose for your life, but it is always going to revolve reaching people for Christ. Amen. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. How many of you are glad your sins are forgiven? Say amen. Amen. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, notice verse number 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. Can everybody say disobedient? I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul was a man who was driven by a vision. Paul was a man who lived his life. Eventually, he died for a vision. And I want to talk to you about that a little bit tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'd bless us. We do pray for Pastor Myers. We pray for his house. We're thankful for Pacific Baptist Church and their faithfulness. What a good crowd we have tonight. Lord, it was good to see the high school students sing today. Most of those kids, many of those kids I've known since before they were born. And what a blessing it was to hear them sing and to watch them sing and video them singing. Lord, it's a blessing to see the house full tonight. We do pray for Pastor Joe. Of course, we pray for his dear wife and his family, Lord. We pray for our missionaries on the field, Lord. We're thankful for all that you're doing. And Lord, just remind us it all started with a vision. We pray that that vision, that dream just keeps on going. I pray that you'd bless our time together tonight in the few moments that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody wrote these words, said, do you think it's possible that we have been duped into buying a cheap imitation of following God? And that has led us to live a cheap imitation life. He goes on to say, I live in a world that continually pulls me towards being normal. Let me just say something. God never intended for his saved, redeemed people to be normal. Yeah. Now, I know some of you are saying, Brother Johnny, you're really abnormal, okay? Can I just say something? There was nothing normal about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing normal about the Apostle Paul. And you go through all the different characters of the Bible, there was nothing normal about them. But we need to understand something. The world we live in, the entire world, but especially America, is constantly pulling us to be normal. Constantly. You ask any missionary who comes back to America, you know, after they've been gone for a while, they come back to America and they say, man, the pull of America is greater than the pull of Egypt was on the children of Israel in the wilderness. And I'm not talking about necessarily wicked things, but to be normal. God doesn't want us to be normal. God wants us to live super normal, spiritual, spirit-led lives. And that's the kind of life Paul lived. He says, I live in a world that continually pulls me towards being normal, a world that values safety, comfort, and conformity over the risk of truly following God and his calling on my life. Folks, this guy's got it correct. We live in a world, and it's, again, especially America, we live in a world that's constantly pulling us to be normal and constantly pulling us to a life of safety and comfort and complacency. Pastor Joe used to talk about the complacency disease all the time. That's a virus that affects all of us, infects all of us. He says the Christian life was meant to be about intimacy with God that leads to influence in the world. You know, the Apostle Paul, again, I just mentioned a moment ago, the Apostle Paul was anything but normal. When you read about the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, and we can't look at it tonight, but when you read about the ministry of the Apostle Paul, his three missionary journeys, and you read about his winning people of Christ and baptizing and discipling and church planting, you read about him being in prison and the shipwrecks and the beatings. The Apostle Paul was anything, folks, but normal. And again, as I said, Jesus was anything but normal. The average man and woman during the time of Christ would look at Christ, including the religious leaders, and they would not say he's normal. They wouldn't say he fits into society. They would have said he's a bit abnormal. And We just go through the Bible. That's what we've been talking about all week in the Bible college. Radical or reasonable? What we call a radical life, the scriptures make it very clear, it's a reasonable life. But what was it that made Paul abnormal? What was it that enabled Paul to go on through persecution and pain and poverty? What was it that enabled Paul to go from king to king, from court to court, eventually be martyred for the cause of Christ? Nothing normal about that. Nothing normal about getting your head cut off for Jesus. Somebody say amen. What was it? What was it that enabled the Lord Jesus said that I have nowhere to lay my head? Vision. Vision. Tonight, in the few moments we have, I'm going to talk to you about vision, because the truth of the matter is most of us, the majority of us in here, other than the children, at one time, we had a vision. At one time, we sat in a church service, and there was preaching, and our hearts were stirred. The vision was from God. Our hearts were stirred. Maybe we hit the altar. Or maybe it was during a missions conference. Or maybe it was during a youth conference or a winter camp up in the mountains. Or maybe it was a teen boy camp. I think you have one of those coming up soon. Maybe it was a ladies fellowship. You just recently had Mrs. Nichols here, and she's a real blessing. Nichols have been friends of mine for many, many years, and I encouraged her a long time ago, you need to write a blog, and you need to write articles. And she said, oh, not me, because I'm going to quit every day. I said, that's exactly why you need to read it, because you haven't quit. Somebody say amen. But the truth of the matter is this. All of us, I think we're all made of the same stuff. Us missionaries, we struggle with it. All the time. I travel a lot. This month is the 9th or 10th month in a row that I've traveled to a different country. I travel all the time. And I preach in churches in different countries. And I'm going to tell you, this is not just an American phenomena. This is in China. For the last 9 months, I've been working with leaders at a church in China and discipling men. And probably one of the biggest things that we've been working on is restoring vision, rekindling passion. This is some, again, like Brother Joseph said, vision dies every 2 months. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know what I'm about to say is true. We have these ebb and flows. We have these up and downs, and our hearts get stirred, and the heart is burning with passion to do something for God, and God begins to lead us, and God begins to guide us, and we get fired up, but you know what? It's not too long. It's gone. It's gone. We sit in and we a conference, and we hear preaching, and our hearts are stirred. And we want to do something. But in 2 or 3 weeks, it's gone. Reminds me of a story. I think I shared this at the college this week. Reminds me of a story. Many, many years ago, my man got saved, and from a rock and roll background. He used to be in the rock and roll band. You old timers remember, there used to be a group called the Righteous Brothers. He was in the right. By the way, there was nothing righteous about them, but they were called the Righteous Brothers, okay? And he got saved out of the Righteous Brothers, and he was, I think, 29 or 30 years old. Those of us who are first generation Christians got saved a little bit older, you know how it was. He was excited. He was fired. fired up, and he started going to church. He had never been to church in his life. He didn't know anything about God, the Bible, and Jesus, and that type of thing. And he would sit on the front row, just like these. How you doing, Raul? Good to see you. But he'd sit on the front row, and he the first week he's in a church service, he'd sit on the front row, and the preacher is preaching, and he must have been in a series on reaching people for Christ and the Great Commission, and, you know, your Jerusalem and your Judea, your Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Tell your family, tell your friends. And man, his heart was on fire. I just want to wake Raul up. His heart was on fire. Man, he wanted to do something for God. Then the service was over, and he thought that they'd have a meeting and they would tell him what to do and where to go and how to do it. And he waited. And after the closing prayer, everybody went. It was probably a Baptist church. Everybody went for lunch. Somebody say amen. And if it's in China, everybody went for dumplings. Somebody say amen. That's it, man. I mean, the Chinese Baptists are the same as American Baptists. They just eat dumplings all the time. Amen. And he was really disappointed. He was like, so the second week he comes back to service. He sits on the front row again. He sits on the front row and he hears the preaching. And again, it's some type of a series on the Great Commission and winning your family and winning your friends to Christ and reaching the world for Christ. And here he is, a brand new Christian, only been saved a couple weeks. And man, the fire is burning. Pastor said, everybody stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. And they prayed and everybody went to lunch. He looked around. The third week, he came back to the church service, and after he came back to the church service, he sat there, sat on the front row, and again, pastors in this series, you've got to win your family to Christ, you have to win your friends to Christ, you got to win the world to Christ, and we all ought to be telling people about Jesus, and man, his heart is on fire. Pastor dismisses everybody with a word of prayer. Finally, he had it. So he went, and he found some guy who was dressed like Ryan Rawl, shirt and tie. Oh, actually, I have one on today. But shirt and tie, probably had a suit coat on. And, you know, this guy didn't. And he looked at him. He said, that looks like one of the bosses. Somebody say amen. That looks like one of the important guys. So he was probably a deacon because I think he was on the last row. But anyway, probably a deacon. So he goes over to him and says, hey, sir, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah, sure, son. What can I help you with? Elderly man. He said, look, for the last 3 weeks, I've been coming to this church service, and every week that guy, and he didn't know it was a pastor, didn't know it was a preacher, he said, that guy stands up there, and he's got that book, and he keeps talking to us or preaching to us, and keeps telling us that we ought to tell our family about Christ, we ought to tell our friends about Christ, we ought to win people to win the world to Christ. He said, the older man looked at him and said, yes, sir. He said, well, I have a question. He said, yes, sir, what's your question? He said, when are we going to do it?
Come on.
The old deacon, the old man, I guess, a deacon, looked at him and said, son, we don't do those things. We just talk about them. Now, can I say something? If we're not careful, now, we would never say it. We wouldn't be as honest, as transparent as that deacon. But I have a feeling a lot of us could say, we don't really do those things. But we talk about it a lot. Let me give you a couple thoughts. I got 5 minutes here. The Christian life was never meant to be normal. You're not going to find anywhere in the Bible. And the Bible is our final authority for all faith and for our practice. You're not going to find anywhere in the Bible where you find normal for a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. It's just not in there. I asked the college students today, name me a character in the Bible who made a decision to follow Christ and they lived a normal life. And the closest anybody got to it, the two closest answers, one said Boaz, and I said, well, we don't know a lot about Boaz's life. And one said Enoch. I said, he was 365 years old. We got two verses about him. We don't know much about him. Somebody say amen. Okay. there's really, you think about it, most of the characters who said yes to Jesus, they were sort of abnormal. And we could spend a lot of time on that, but we don't have time. Number two, a vision based on the Holy Scriptures and stirred by the Holy Spirit gives life an eternal purpose. Every once in a while, we have to ask ourselves this question: what am I living for? Now, some of you have probably noticed I've lost a little weight. Somebody say amen, okay? I feel like I'm walking in a pup tent right now. I put the suit on yesterday to preach at Monterey Park. I said, whoa, I've got the belt all the way over, and you can see the veins in my neck. And I've lost a lot of weight. I am not going to tell you how much I lost because you'll know how heavy I was. But I'm just going to say, we lost a lot of weight, okay? We had a lot of weight in the last 9 months. Now, here's the thing. People want to know, how'd you lose weight? I don't have the time to go through the whole rigmarole. Staying away from Snicker bars. Somebody say amen. Staying away from the Coca-Cola. Brother Vong knows. I used to drink a little bit of Coca-Cola in Cambodia. As a matter of fact, they started a whole new plant just for me. But I've stopped that. But I've got my Fitbit on. I do steps. And a lot of you college students signed up to be my friend. And after you saw my steps after 2 or 3 days, you got raptured. You disappeared. Amen. I walk 10 to 12 miles every day. Every day. And that has helped a lot. But really, the thing that has helped me the most is every day I weigh myself 4 times. Every day. If there's a scale there. Now, when I was Bangkok, man, I was running all over looking for scales. And I found one. You put a little penny in there, you know. I weigh myself 4 times a day. And if I get on the scale, and if I gained a quarter of an ounce, okay, no lunch today. Somebody say amen. My wife used to be my best friend. The scale is my best friend now. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, as soon as I got flew in from Bangkok, no water for 24 hours at Kunming. Every time I fly in, my wife and I fly back to Kunming, we won't have water for 24 hours, and we're just going to stink together, amen. But as soon as I flew in, the first thing I checked was not the water. The first thing I checked, I got on that scale. Now, here's the thing. In America, we don't like scales. So we say amen. Some of us, look, I know, because I used to live here. Some of you have a scale in your bathroom. There is so much dust caked on that rascal because it has been so long since you've used that thing. Every once in a while, you walk in the bathroom or wherever the scale is, and it calls your name. Gloria Fabros, come. Sometimes it sticks out a ton at you, and you say, I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because we don't like to face the truth. When my mother was getting ready to die, when she was getting ready to find out she had cancer, she didn't want to go to the doctor. My mother and my aunt had what I used to call put the head in the sand syndrome. Yeah. And there's a lot of people like that. They would rather not go to the doctor, find out that they have cancer. Look, if I'm going to have cancer, I want to know about it. Somebody say amen. Just shoot me with some chemo, just to shoot me in the head, whatever, but I want to know what's going on. But the truth of the matter is most of us don't. But that's not only in our physical lives. It's in our spiritual life. You know why complacency sets in? Do you know why we become normal? Because we're not willing to get on the spiritual scale and see the truth about ourselves. And tonight, we need to ask ourselves this question. The Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. That means the people wander aimlessly. They languish on the vine. A lot of God's people are wandering aimlessly like the children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness. You know why? No vision. Or we lost the vision. Many of us at one time, we had this passion in our heart, a desire in our heart, and God stirred our heart. We had a vision to do something for God and be something for God and become more like Christ and be involved with the cause of Christ and maybe go to the mission field, maybe be involved with the ministry, and maybe not even be what we call full-time ministry, but we had a vision and passion to reach children for Christ and reach teenagers for Christ and work in a Christian school and influence people. Look, by the way, I was in education for 20 Christian education, 20 years, a secular education for 5, 6, 7 years. Man, you talk about losing vision. Somebody say amen. It doesn't take long. I can remember when I used to work at Bellflower High School, you would go into the teacher's faculty lounge and there were teachers just sitting there and they were complaining and criticizing the kids. And I mean, there were some legitimate reasons, but they were criticizing the kids. And I remember as a Christian, I would look and I said, you know, at one time, These teachers had a passion and a desire and a vision to influence young people. Not for Christ, but to influence young people. But you know what happened? They lost the vision. Maybe you work in Patch the Pirate. Maybe you work in the bus ministry. Maybe you work with teenagers. You work with the school. You work with the college. Whatever area of ministry. At one time, you had the passion and you had the desire to reach people for Christ, to influence people for Christ. You were walking with God and you had this intimacy with God. You were influencing others and just you've become normal. And the problem is this. When we become normal, we can't even tell. Because almost everybody we associate with has the same virus we have. They're normal. We need a vision. Vision, we've mentioned a couple times, it dies. It's something that has to be rekindled. Just like everything in the Christian life. It's just like a marriage. I can't just tell my wife and I have been married forever, 36 years. And by the way, that's one reason I don't have a wedding band on. I gained so much weight. We had to cut that rascal off. I almost had a heart attack because the thing was so tight on my finger. I said, man, we have to get this in Lao. I took Kumli. I said, get me somewhere we can cut this thing off. I thought I was having a stroke. I said, I can't just tell my wife, you know, 36 years ago, I love you. We do our vows and think that thing doesn't need to be rekindled. In the same way that men and women lose and leave their love for their spouse, we lose and leave our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has to be rekindled. And we lose and leave our love for the cause of Christ, and it has to be rekindled. Number next, and we're done. The older we are, and I wish we don't have time because I know you guys get up by 8 o'clock, and it's time to go get some dumplings, amen? Oh, you don't eat dumplings. The older we are, or the longer we've been saved, the more that we've changed, the greater the danger of complacency. Years ago, Pastor Joe, for a couple years, he talked about the complacency disease. And Pat Riley, who used to coach the Lakers, and wrote a book, and I don't remember if the book was called Complacency Disease, but Pat Riley talked about the complacency disease. And those of you who were here in those days, Pastor would always say that Pat Riley and all the successful coaches, once their coaches hit 40 years old, they fired them. They fired them. They wanted to hire young men. Trust me, look in the scriptures. It was young men, it was young women who made a difference for Christ. The older men, almost always, like King Saul, sat under the pomegranate tree comfortably. The longer we've been saved, the longer we've been in church, the more mature that we've become, the greater the danger that complacency sets in and we become normal. And all of a sudden, if a young person gets fired up for God and has a vision to do something for God, they'll come to us and, you know, we'll say something like this, or we will think it, well, he'll get over it. He sure will. You know why? Because he's going to hang around us. I told the college students today, you know, we preach and we say, well, you got to stay away from the wrong crowd. And if you don't stay away from the wrong crowd, they're going to influence you. Can I just tell you something? The crowd out there is not the crowd that hinders us and hurts us. The crowd that hurts us the most are the people we stand next to in church services. Now, they're good people. But like Pastor Joe used to say, we're not looking for good people. Somebody say amen. We're looking for godly people. We're looking for people with vision. We're looking for people with a passion for Christ, a zeal for Christ. But what happens is we all get together and we become normal. But not Paul. Paul never became normal. And when they put Paul's head down to cut his head off, he still was not normal. Let me read this quote again and we'll have a word of prayer. Do you think it's possible that we have been duped into buying a cheap imitation of following God? And that has led us to live a cheap imitation life. I live, and you and I live in that same world, I live in a world that continually pulls me not towards being wicked. We are so worried about the world pulling us to wickedness. Look at the crowd here on the Thursday night midweek Bible study. I told the college students, I'm not worried about you becoming wicked. Most of you aren't going to go to the nightclub. You're not going to go to dance hall. First of all, you don't even know how to dance. Somebody say amen. You're not going to go do those things. That's not really what our concern should be. The world is not calling most of us to become wicked. Calling us to become normal. I live in a world that continually pulls me toward being normal, a world that values safety, comfort, and conformity over the risk of truly following God and his calling on my life. The Christian life was meant to be about intimacy with God that leads to influence in the world. A life that is committed and has a passion to love the Lord with every fiber of our being, with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Love Jesus more than anyone or anything, more than everyone and everything, can never be characterized by normal. Intimacy with God, and then we could be the light that shines in the world and influence the world for Christ. But normal people never influence the world for Christ. So we have a choice. Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Some of us tonight, there was a time we had a vision, we had a passion, but it's not there anymore. Tonight be a really good time to get back to Bethel and get it back. Aren't you glad God's a God of a second chance and third chance, fourth chance? He just constantly, you know, it's not only the world's calling us to normalcy, the Spirit is calling us to God. Some of us, you say, well, I never had a vision. Tonight be a good night to just say, oh God, do something in my heart that no man can do. Let's stand, let's pray.